hopes it come to be. And the people gather round, they are brought what they can bring. I know about it when we laugh, and then I sound the same. The revolution starts now.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. And we start off the music on Sunday nights. And our guest this week is Air America's own Rachel Maddow.
Hi,
how
Steve.
Are you? It's good. We've been talking about doing this for a while.
I know.
I'm gonna get everybody in here and find out what they're listening to before it's over with.
Do you believe that what people like for music is a window into their soul?
I believe it tells you a lot about folks.
Yeah.
It certainly told us a lot about Franken.
Did he pick Grateful Dead?
Yeah, how many Grateful... He holds the record for Grateful Dead tracks. 2 Grateful Dead tracks on one radio show.
In 1 hour.
It was eclectic, Al's List. Not any doubt about it. It was Grateful Dead. And one of the things that impressed me the most was Gilbert and Sullivan, because I'm a huge Gilbert and Sullivan. I think Gilbert and Sullivan is... I tell songwriters, you know, I teach this songwriting course at... the Old Town School of Folk Music, and I beat kids over the head with the Gilbert and Sullivan, because it is sort of where pop songwriting started. But let's get going with some music. I don't know anything about Corey Brannon. We're not even sure we're pronouncing this gentleman's name.
Yeah,
right,
I've never seen him live. I don't know anything about him, and nobody ever talks about him.
Yeah.
So I figure, you know, why not? His name's Brannon. It's Brannan. So it's either Brannon or Brannon. He's from Memphis. He's got one record out that I can tell, and it's just wicked, wicked songwriting. And I like it. So this song is called Crush, and it's got a curse word right up top.
Time I mentioned I was moving, and you said you helped me move. Almost went out and bought some so I need your help to move. Cause I got a crush on you. Remember that Halloween when I went as Jimmy Dean? You were a princess or a gypsy or whatever. I was James Dean. I had a crush on you. I get a yes or no or maybe from the magic eight ball of your mind. I saw your mom's Camaro, damn it girl, you looking fine. And I got a crush on you. Day in, day out, same routine, you better know what you think before you say what you mean. Same old, season after season, baby, you're the kind of thing I do without reason. The sky's an 80-foot mirror with a fancy bevel edge. Couldn't make it any clearer, I'm alone on this ledge. Just me, my crush on you. Teenage hairdos, bad leather, mom's apartment, Ethel cans. I wanna take you to the dance. Cause I got a crush on you. Well, I'm a 16-year-old Hitler with a troubled, lovesick mind. Do you get the picture? I am of the dangerous kind. When I got this crush on you. Some girls make me reach for the bottle. Some girls make me reach for the sky. You got me reaching in every direction for just one good reason. Why? that's crushing me. That time I mentioned I was moving, and you said you'd help me move.
Corey Brandon on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Rachel Maddow, and I think I will go out and buy that record.
It's pretty good. It's called The Hell You Say is the name of the record. And Corey Brandon, I don't ever want to meet him.
Sometimes it's best you're best off to leave that alone. But that's kind of cool.
I like songs about girls. You know, like it's a song about having a crush on a girl, and I'm a jerk, and I got a crush on a girl, and I like the honesty.
I know it's one of those things that I become known as a political songwriter. But when it's over with and they count it all up, they'll find out I wrote more songs about girls than I did.
And that's what rock and roll's for. That's what it's for.
Absolutely. Keep speaking of rock and roll and girls, Sleater-Kinney.
Oh yeah.
This band blows my mind. I think anybody that listens to this show knows that I'm a Sleater-Kinney fan. But I was actually kind of jazzed to see you bring this in. Where did you see them live for the first time before you heard them on record?
I knew about Sleater-Kinney, and I probably heard a couple other people play him, but I hadn't really paid any attention. I was living in England. I went and saw him at a tiny little club. You could have knocked me over with a feather. It changed everything. I'm listening to the sound coming off the stage and seeing these three girls play it, and I'm thinking, I didn't think I was sexist, but I can't believe this sound is coming out of these girls.
I know. It's the first time I saw them. It actually wasn't in the club. It was opening for Pearl Jam, and which was like a lot of space to fill up. And, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I love the White Stripes, but I think they need a bass player. And, you know, I've actually volunteered for the job a couple of times. I mean, I really dig them. But I do think but I never miss there not being a bass player, because you know they figured out a way to fill that hole, and this is I think this is one of the best rock bands in America.
I absolutely am. Since I have been listening to music, Sleater-Kinney's up there. Can compete with anybody, and I would go see the drummer play alone, without anything else going on. They're so good.
And not to mention these ladies put their mouth where their politics are and their music where their politics are. They walk the talk. This is Sleater-Kinney on Air America Radio. Sleater-Kinney on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Rachel Maddow, and we're going through our Air America thing. And this is these are some of the best shows I think that we've done. This is a good list that you've got.
It's kind of weird. I was going to try to come up with stuff in order for me not to spend 3 days coming up with this list of songs. I tried to limit myself to songs released in the last 5 years, and then I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So because I couldn't not include this next song. This Bill Withers song, just you can't leave him off end of the list.
You know, it's funny thing about Bill Withers is you know, we're talking about a really, really short career. You know, there's the first Bill Withers record is probably one of the most, you know, it's really a compilation. It's stuff that was recorded over a couple of years, but I know a lot of people. You know, this record was incredibly influential. He was completely different, you know, at the time, I think. You know, it was acoustic guitar, you know. You had a black artist, but it was acoustic guitar based, and, you know, he was a black singer-songwriter at a time when there I don't think anybody else was really doing that.
Yeah, and the stuff that he put out, I feel like his name ought to be a marquee name for everybody right now. And I know, actually, this song that we're going to play was actually used in a movie recently. I think it was on the soundtrack to Anchorman.
We were talking about, I haven't seen Anchorman.
I don't have time to see the movies, it has to be said, but I know that it's
see
true.
Parts of movies on buses and on airplanes.
Yeah.
that's about it. I
if
very
you could
rarely
pick
think
that it was only the good
one.
Parts, that'd probably be all right.
I know.
It makes me happy that I hope that he is getting some exposure, because I feel like he's the kind of name that everybody ought to know, even though he did only put out a small amount of stuff.
You know, Ain't No Sunshine, I think everybody knows that song, and a lot of people have covered it. But there was something about, you know, I know of a lot of instrumental versions of these songs. They sort of instantly became elevator music, and you know, we make fun of that, but music that he made like one record, it's really two records, but you know, they sort of became, you know, part of repertoire almost instantly.
They became standards almost.
Absolutely. It's like some people, that's what Guy Clark, who's a great songwriter, you know, writes long story songs like I do. I mean, we ended up, you know, drunk for a week because the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald, was a hit, so we thought there was some hope for us. His wife had a big hit on a song that called I'll Be Your San Antonio Rose, and it ended up being cut 3 or 4 times, and that's what Susanna Clark always said about it. She goes, well, Guy writes the classics, and I write the standards.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Which I'm not, you know.
But that's a great way to make sure that nobody ever pays attention to the song. Yes, to make it into a standard.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like
make it putting something on a greeting card. Hey, how is there to take the substance out of anything?
Yeah, well, this is Bill Withers on Air America Radio.
Until you use me up.
then you act real rude to me.
Guest this week is Rachel Maddow. That's a great track.
God, I can't even sit still through that.
It's a great record. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio, and our guest this week is Air America's own Rachel Maddow. And, yeah, tell me about TV on the radio.
TV on the radio. We used to do a thing called The Party Machine on Unfiltered, which is my first show that I did with Chuck D and Liz Winstead, and we got killed for Jerry Springer. But one of the things we did before we got killed, before we got that chair thrown at us, is that we used to do something called Party Machine. We'd have a band come on, and all three of us contributed ideas for which bands would come on. So right. Liz knew about TV on the radio. I'd never heard of them. These guys show up. It's an interracial rock band playing without instruments. And I'm like, I have absolutely no expectations.
What is this going to be?
Yeah. Black guys and white guys in the band came in, did an instrumental number, half of it in falsetto, that absolutely rocked. And I thought, I can't even wrap my head around why I like this, but it's so weird and so good. I don't know anybody else out there right now that sounds anything like them, and I think they're great.
TV on the radio on Air America Radio. On the radio, on Air America Radio.
Isn't that a hell of an ending?
That's a great ending. That's really, really, really cool.
Not many people have the courage to end with the foghorn.
Did they come in and perform on the show?
They did. They came in and performed on Unfiltered. They didn't do that song. They did a song where they had no instruments, which is one of the songs on this record, Desperate Youth, Bloodthirsty Babes.
Right.
But yeah, they're a weird bunch of guys.
Yeah, I love my job. It's really cool to get to do this. I mean, we are we're one of two music shows on the network.
Yeah.
And it's funny, people come in, the least political shows that I've done have been some of the Air America people, because they're just so anxious to come in and play music.
Well, yeah.
So we probably talk about politics less when we talk about politics more when I have a musician on than we do when I have, I've had activists on here that never talked about politics. They just wanted to play music on the radio. It's a fun thing to do.
When I came into this job, my previous job before doing this is that I worked minimum wage doing a morning show on a music station in New England.
Yeah, you were one of the few people at this network that actually had any experience
came
in
out
radio
of radio.
When
I know,
it started.
Exactly. And my other job, I was doing that for minimum wage, so I needed another job. My other job was working for the ACLU. So I'm trying to do this kind of activist life. I'm spinning records every morning. I actually got to spin all my own records and then squeeze some politics into that show. And now I'm here and I get to talk politics all the time. I can't believe anybody's paying me to do politics on the radio, but I miss music every single day.
Right.
Every day I miss it.
Yeah, Janine was the first Air America. Actually, it's one of our favorite shows because she basically made fun of me on the radio for the whole show. But it was the least political show I think that I've ever done. Which, when you hear Janine on the radio, but she has to talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Chris Whitley, I guess the first time I saw Chris Whitley was at the Ludlow Cafe back when there was nothing else on Ludlow except the Ludlow Cafe and a couple of places to buy heroin.
Well,
and that was it.
I can't imagine why you met Chris Whitley.
Ooh, but I was down there. I have to. This was in the late '80s, and I did know that neighborhood rather well in those days. But he's the real deal. He's a great player. And it's funny, I think a lot of people thought he was going to turn out to be a guitar god at first.
Yeah.
Because he does have his own approach to playing slide guitar. But mm-hmm. but he's a great songwriter as well.
He's a great songwriter. He's a really serious guy, which I like. And seeing him in person, it's kind of like going to church. He's really intense.
Chris Whitley on Air America Radio. Chris Whitley, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Rachel Maddow, and you're a TV star now.
I'm a very, very dim star in the TV world. But yeah, I started doing Air America when we first went on the air, and that was I thought that was like making it big and people knowing who I am and being famous.
Right.
And then I started doing this thing on TV on MSNBC, and being on TV is different. People stop you on the street, know who you
are. It is, yeah. Yeah.
And they write nasty things about you, and they send you all sorts of mail, and it's the TV world's a whole different thing. I was not prepared.
Yeah, it is a different and the Tucker Carlson thing's got to be good for a giggle.
Well, Tucker Carlson, you know, he's spent his whole career, he's not that old, he's like 36 years old, but he's been on TV for
a
decade.
Right.
And he's built up, his whole career is around people thinking he's annoying. That's the scenario that he's established for himself.
Actually, I actually probably owe him an apology. He got a little irritated with me the one time that I was on Crossfire. I was playing in D.C. and I went to the 9:30 club.
Yeah.
After I did the show and you know they kind of threw me softballs. It was when John Walker's Blues was out and all that was going on. That's what we were talking about. And you know I just said during the show I said I did Crossfire. Tucker Carlson never laid a glove on me. So the next day, man, he got on the show and he's going. They replayed it and he said, "See, you try to be nice to a guy," and he gets on there and he really kind of whined about it. So that's probably why people think he's irritating.
Well, he's. I mean, the bow tie itself is irritating. I mean, he's set himself.
That's not conservative attire. You know, when I see a bow tie, I start thinking about some semi-radical academic somewhere. The bow tie is some,
or the Nation of Islam.
Choice.
Yeah. Two choices.
Yeah, another kind of conservative. Yeah, yeah.
But he is actually. I think he's an honest guy. I don't think I wouldn't work with him if I didn't think he was. But
no, he's a real conservative. That's one thing he has. He does believe that, and I understand. I can deal with that. I can deal with someone that differs from me, and I do respect him for that. He's a real live conservative with real live conservative values.
And not all of them are. A lot of people in the TV world in particular, and some columnists, don't do their own thinking. They get told what to say, basically. I believe that Sean Hannity does not do his own thinking.
Yeah.
I think he gets a memo every morning that tells him what he thinks.
Right.
Therefore, I have no interest in ever speaking to Sean Hannity in my life. And if I was ever in the room with him, I would start a fight with him maybe, but I wouldn't actually try to have a real conversation.
Yeah,
people who do their own thinking, you can fight with.
I think it was talking to Tucker Carlson that George W. Bush mocked Carla Faye Tucker.
That's
and,
right.
And his numbers plummeted the next day.
And Tucker Carlson, as a conservative, as somebody who was supporting Bush at that time, put it in the article.
He absolutely did. And it was funny because I was thinking that had happened on Larry King or something. And it was Janine Garofalo corrected me on that. And, you know, I wrote a play about Carla Faye Tucker. And you know, it's something I know a little bit about. It happened in my home state. And the death penalty is my main area of activism. But he's, you know, it's one of those things I think I probably, if when you see him, tell him I said I didn't mean to diss him. It was a joke, and it was, you know,
I
was just trying to keep the show going. It was one of those, and it really wasn't fair because he was, you know, I think we were on the show, who was on the other side that day? Oh, it was the Texas guy.
The Texas guy.
The Texas guy on Crossfire.
Carville's Louisiana.
No, Carville. Yeah, Carville's from Louisiana and Arkansas, by way of Arkansas.
Pagala.
Used to work. Yeah, yeah.
Who's
a huge fan Tucker was kind of set up. He didn't really have a chance that day. And you know, and it was one of those things. And the other thing was he didn't really have an argument when you came up with a question of like whether I had a right to say anything I wanted to in a song, Tucker Carlson's not going to argue with
me. Right. If you're a small C conservative, guess what? You believe everybody has a right to say everything.
Right.
That's what being a small C conservative is all about. It's the big C conservatives that are the big government conservatives that don't want anybody to say anything. The people who actually want to shut you down.
Absolutely. You know, and it's really important to remember these guys that are running things. I do have a hard time being comfortable with watching Tucker Carlson or anybody else put in the position of having to defend this administration, because these guys aren't conservatives.
No, they're
radicals.
And you
can watch him. He's physically uncomfortable when he defends George W. Bush.
And I like seeing, even small C conservatives physically uncomfortable.
Absolutely. You got one more track to play for us.
Yeah, M. Ward. This is a song called Big Boat, and it is a really happy piano-based ditty that happens to be about going to hell, and I really enjoy it.
Cool. M. Ward on Air America Radio. Radio. Our guest this week has been Rachel Maddow, who you can hear on Air America Radio and MSNBC and pretty much everywhere.
In your head early in the morning. Early in the morning.
This has been a guest. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now.